Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
God bless you, brethren. Thank you for joining us today. We are so happy to fellowship with you, come into your homes. We bless you in Jesus' name. I want to share some good news with you today. I read the end of the book. Guess what? We win. That's the good news. I want to share a little foundation with you so I can share something even better than that. But let's pray and ask the Lord for His help, His grace, since I can do nothing without Him. You obviously know that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for Your mercy, Your grace in our fellowship today, Lord. Lord, You chose me not because I'm a good speaker in myself, Lord, but because I'd have to depend upon You. And, Lord, I do. I ask You today to really bless and anoint this meeting and help me to get across to my brethren, Lord, some of the things that You've shown me. And please encourage them and please pick them up and show them Your love. And set the captives free today, Lord. Open the prison to them that are bound. And Lord, we give thanks for what Jesus has accomplished for us. We know it's a done deal. And Lord, help all my brethren to know that they can just accept freely what You've done. In Jesus' name, thank You. Thank You. Well, brethren, I'm going to just lay a little bit of foundation in case somebody's new in the room here and doesn't know where I'm coming from. The Bible is clear that everything that happened unto the Jews, everything that happened in the Old Testament is actually a prophecy for us. It was all just hidden in types and shadows. The whole story has been told. The Lord doesn't do anything that He hadn't shown at first through His servants, the prophets. That means everything that's happening's already been spoken. And all we have to do is have His guidance and His leading to discern and understand. To you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given, Jesus told His disciples, you know. Hidden things, wonderful, hidden truths are in God's Word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, in 11, now these things happened unto them, speaking of the Jews, by way of example, which is the word that actually the Greek word means figure or type. These things happened unto them as a figure or type, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So when we go back over there and read those stories and revelations, just know that there's something there written to you. Not just to the physical Jews, but to the spiritual Jews, that God's hidden and He wants to show us. And right now I'd like to go to Acts chapter 15 and look at one of these revelations. Acts chapter 15. In verse 13. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, Brethren, hearken. Unto me, Simeon hath rehearsed how first God visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After these things I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That the residue or remnant of men may seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. Well, I don't suppose any of you know anything about a tabernacle being set up back there in the time of Jesus and thereafter. Well, it was, but it was set up in the spirit, not in the flesh. Or David showing up. Well, it was. It happened in the spirit and not in the flesh. And Jesus, as you know, was the fulfillment of the seed of David, who was to come and sit upon his throne. God made a promise to David, and he had to fulfill it. Even in the New Testament, it's still being fulfilled, that promise to David. However, the Davids are not physical seed of David, they're spiritual seed of David. Jesus was the first fulfillment of that. And he built the tabernacle of David, that all the Gentiles may come in and worship God. And as you know, in the New Testament, it's not temples that are made with hands that God's interested in. It's those spiritual temples or tabernacles. In chapter 7 and verse 44, it says, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of the testimony in the wilderness, even as he appointed, who spake unto Moses that he should make it according to the figure that he had seen." So he repeated the figure that he had a revelation of. It was the tabernacle of the testimony in the wilderness. And of course, you know what a tabernacle is. It's a mobile, temporary temple. One that's made to travel through the wilderness, much like we are coming to now, the tribulation wilderness. Well, he made comment down in verse 47, "But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in houses made with hands." What houses do you think he's talking about? He's talking about both the tabernacle and the temple. That if it was made with hands, God doesn't dwell in it. So why did he do that? Obviously, as a type and a shadow for us. And the tabernacle, he tells us in Acts 15, is the tabernacle of the church. The Gentiles are mentioned there. And it was ruled by David in Jesus' day, the seed of David, and that was Jesus himself. And now, most of you that have been following me along realize that it's being fulfilled again in the Spirit. First in the natural, now in the spirit. Jesus is also coming in our day to be manifested, first of all, in his first fruits, which David was a type of. And one parable about that is the man-child in Revelation 12, who is the seed of David in our day. And Jesus, who is the seed of David, will be manifested in his first fruits to once again be the ruler in the time of the tabernacle of David in our day. So God is once again raising up the tabernacle of David. You see, it didn't stop in Jesus' day. It started in Jesus' day, and then it stopped because, as the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, the people in that day were being invited to the Mount of God, the temple of God, the city of God. But there was a great falling away because of false doctrine and things, and God's people have been in that falling away for the last 2,000 years. Now, once again, God is bringing his people back to walking in the presence of God. And I want to read a verse to you over in Amos chapter 9. And it says in verse 10, "And all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say the evil shall not overtake nor meet us." Has there ever been a time that all of the sinners of God's people die by the sword? Well, there is a time like that today. It's been prophesied, and it is coming upon us, because the beast is going to devour the harlot, as happened in 70 A.D., that those sinners of God's people died by the sword. And now, all of the sinners of God's people are going to die by the sword. They're going to go into the great and terrible day of the Lord, and the beast is going to destroy. They're going to be so sick of these religious people that they're going to destroy them. And to let you know what day that is, we'll read on. It says, "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old." So, once again, you know, before 70 AD and now before the beast destroys the harlot once more, devours the harlot, burns her with fire. Revelation 17 says, once more, we've come to the same time. The raising up of the tabernacle of David, which is his remnant, God's remnant. David and the remnant of God's people is who he's talking about here. The David being a corporate body of the first fruits, man-child, who's about to come forth and lead the people again through the wilderness like Moses and like Jesus did, etc., etc. If you wonder if this is really that day, you can look down in verse 14. It says, "And I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them." You know, he's not... you see, we have a natural type in the Jews, but the spiritual type is, of course, that God's people who have been taken captive to the nations are once again returning to build the cities of Israel, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, and to inhabit them. "And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, says the Lord God." You think there's going to be a time when God's going to destroy all the sinners from among his people? Well, in Obadiah, the very next page there, in my Bible anyway, in Obadiah, it tells you, "In the day of the Lord," verse 15, "the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations." And what does he say is going to happen then? Well, verse 17, "But in Mount Zion there shall be those that escape, and it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions." Glory to God. What does that mean? If you're talking about them being a type and a shadow for the church, God's people are going to come into their possessions. "And the house of Jacob shall be for a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall burn among them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining to the house of Esau." Wow. Now, I know that there are some people saying that the Jews are building that wall over there so that they can destroy all of the house of Esau. Well, that's ridiculous. It's just totally ridiculous. He's not talking about that. You know who the house of Esau represents? The house of Esau represents those who have sold their birthright through running after the flesh. And what God is saying here is God's true people are going to be used to destroy these people. Do you know who's going to bring to pass the great and terrible day of the Lord upon the wicked for that solid year? Who was riding above the flood, folks? It was Noah and the righteous. They had the wicked under their feet. Do you remember reading that in Malachi, that the wicked would be under the soles of their feet? Who was destroying them there in Malachi? Well, it was the righteous. The righteous who were working with the Lord to bring to pass the destruction of the wicked. "There won't be any remaining to the house of Esau. All the sinners of my people." But, you know, Esau was a son of Abraham, was he not? "There won't be any remaining." Can you imagine? What day is that now? Well, that's our day. And what did Amos say would happen in that day? He said, "I'll raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, close up the breaches thereof, and I'll raise up its ruins." So once again, God is raising up the tabernacle of David, his remnant who are walking in him. In the midst of the tabernacle, of course, was God himself manifested in the midst of that tabernacle. Awesome. Awesome. Well, 2 Kings. Turn to 2 Kings for a moment. Again, I'm laying a foundation so I can share something a little deeper with you, maybe. 2 Kings, chapter 19, and verse 30. "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant." There's the remnant again. Now it's talking about Jerusalem. You know, the first verses that we looked at in Acts 15, for instance, the remnant was the tabernacle of David. Now we're talking about Jerusalem. Out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion they that shall escape. Escape what? Well, escape the dominion of the beast. The dominion of the beast is covering the earth. It is in men's minds. It's in their flesh. It rules over them, whether they like it or not. It is Antichrist in them that rules over them. And, of course, there's a physical aspect of this in that the armies of the beast are going to rule the world. And we're not talking about an individual now. We're talking about what the Bible calls the beast, by the way, which is all nations. Okay. Verse 30 says, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again bear fruit downward and bear take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion they that shall escape. The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come unto this city." The king of Assyria, of course, represents here the beast, because Assyria was one of the beasts that conquered Israel. The second beast. By the way, we're going to have a second beast too. It's called the beast of Revelation 13. The first one is Revelation 12. So the second beast here means something. Assyria was the second world ruling beast. Egypt, Assyria. Egypt and then Assyria, right? "He shall not come unto this city, nor shoot an arrow there, neither shall he come before it with shield, nor cast up a mound against it. By the way which he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come unto this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." Well, for David and for the remnant, because obviously out of Jerusalem shall go forth the remnant. And of course, when God defended it, an angel of the Lord went forth and smote the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000 men died when the Lord was so zealous to defend Jerusalem, his remnant, right? A type and a shadow of his remnant. And David, "for my servant David." And once again, the Lord is fulfilling history. I mean, the world will, and the worldly church will not see it come to pass, but if you look at the types and the shadows, God will teach you. And it will come to pass exactly as he says. History is already foretold. It's going to happen exactly as the Lord taught us. We know what Zion represents. For example, in Psalm 15 is a good example of what Zion represents. I'll read it to you. It says, "The Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle, who shall dwell in thy holy hill," which is what? The remnant, right? "He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart." This is who Zion, the remnant, is. They speak the truth. They're not full of the lies of Babylonish religion. They speak the truth. And they walk uprightly and they work righteousness. And another example is Psalm 125, it says, "They that trust in the Lord," so those that walk by faith, "are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever." Wow, that's decent. That's nice there. Eternal, right? "As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous." In other words, the beast will not have dominion over God's remnant, which is, again, represented by Zion, "that the righteous put not forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that are good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. But as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them forth with the workers of iniquity." In other words, the apostates will be destroyed right along with the wicked, folks. "But peace be upon Israel." And I might add that he's talking about here the Israel of God. Right? The Israel of God. I want to look at another one here. Zephaniah chapter 3. Let's see what this... Verse 11. The Lord says, "In that day shalt thou not be put to shame for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee thy proudly exalting ones. In other words, those arrogant people that proclaim to be Christians, but they're not. And thou shalt no more be haughty in my holy mountain. What's this holy mountain? We're back to Zion here, right? The remnant. God's going to cleanse his holy mountain. Nobody there will be proud. But I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall take refuge in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are made safe, Proverbs 18 and 10 says. And also, Micah chapter 4 and verse 8 says that Zion is the tower of the flock. Right? So we're running to hide in Zion, to take refuge in the name of the Lord, which is Zion. The name of the Lord is Zion. The name means the nature, character, and authority of the Lord is Zion. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are made safe. It's safe to abide in the name of the Lord, the nature, character, and authority of the Lord. The remnant of Israel, where is that? He just said it was his holy mountain. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. So they won't be preaching all the false doctrines of the apostate church, folks. These people are going to be speaking the truth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The remnant is going to be a holy, truth-speaking people. They are not going to be proud or arrogant. God's plan for them is as it was with David and the tabernacle, right? So once again, we see that David represents the man-child ministry that's going to lead God's people through the wilderness again as a tabernacle, a remnant of those. Just as Jesus led a remnant of Israel into the presence of God to be a tabernacle in the wilderness, and Moses did the same thing, so the end-time man-child is going to do the exact same thing because history just repeats. Now, if you understand who David is, and you understand who the remnant is, let's look at Zechariah chapter 12. Some more good news here, folks. Zechariah chapter 12. So God's hidden that revelations concerning his church in the midst of these stories about Israel. Most of the church doesn't know that. They only have eyes to see the letter. And so it escapes them. Zechariah 12. I want you to see God's people here. See God's David. Listen, folks, anybody that's physically of the seed of David but not born from above is not the seed of David in the New Testament. Not the seed of David. 12 and verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus saith the Lord, who stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling unto all the peoples round about. Wow, what Jerusalem you think he's really talking about in the spirit here, not in the flesh. That's right. He's talking about God's remnant. I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling unto all the peoples. You know that Jesus got a reaction out of most everybody around him. He was either good or bad, right? And so it will be with those who walk in his place, you know. He said if they hated me, if they hated you, just remember that they hated me before. And so it's quite natural that the world will hate us the more we come into the image of Jesus Christ. You know, people will hate you and won't even know why they hate you. You know why? Because their spirit is contrary to you. Have you ever experienced that? I know you have. I have. People hate you and don't even know why they hate you. It's not because you've done anything to them. What did Jesus do to deserve what he got, you know? And his disciples after him. I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples, and all that burden themselves with it shall be sore wounded. Listen, the whole world is going to hate the fruit of Jesus Christ in his people. And I say that's going to happen first in the man-child, it's going to happen second in the witnesses, and it's going to happen third in the remnant of God's people. It's going to be continuing to happen that way. Everybody that burdens themselves with Jerusalem, and that'll be all the nations of the earth that are gathered together against it, they're going to be sore wounded, the Bible says. Judgment's going to fall upon them. And verse 4, I remember what Josephus said in his famous history book, you know, that it was because of the way the Jews treated Jesus and his disciples that the judgment fell upon them in 70 A.D. And Josephus said, again, about Jesus, who was called a man. He said, if indeed it would be legal to even call him a man. Josephus was a believer, you know, to the extent that he was a believer. But he said the reason judgment fell upon them was because of the way they treated Jesus and his apostles. Verse 4, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with terror and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah. And who is the house of Judah? The house of David. And I will smite every horse of the peoples with blindness. You know, horses, remember the judgments in Revelation chapter 6, the horse judgments. Horse there represents the flesh of the beast that's been harnessed by man. And that's what's going to bring many of the judgments in the tribulation period. Man's works are going to be bringing these judgments. And God's going to be using it for his glory. Every horse will be smitten with blindness. And the chieftains of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength. Wow, that's true. That's the remnant of God's people. That's the true Christians. Now, there are multitudes of Christians at this time, but they're not true Christians. There are many called, but few are chosen. There are multitudes of people that are seeking salvation in the world and love in the world and seeking to justify themselves in their sin. But there's just a remnant that is abiding in the name of the Lord, which is what we saw Jerusalem represents. That's not natural Jerusalem. Natural Jerusalem represents anything but the name of the Lord. Like Paul said, she's in bondage with her children. They're children of the handmaid, not the free woman. They won't inherit with the children of the free woman. So get your mind on straight, folks. I mean, renew your mind with the Word of God and find out who's the real Jews in the New Testament. The inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day will I make the chieftains of Judah like a pan of fire among wood, and like a flaming torch among sheaves. And they shall devour all the peoples round about, on the right hand and on the left. And they of Jerusalem shall yet again dwell in their own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem be not magnified above Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. Wow, that's something. He that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. Do you know that Jesus was the first fruits in his day, but he wasn't the only fruit, because he came to be manifested in his disciples, and they called them Christians, and they in turn went out and spread the true gospel of Christ in you, the hope of glory, throughout a remnant of people that eventually covered the globe. And the feeble among them in that day shall be as David. In other words, that fruit is going to continue to grow in all of God's people, his true people. And the house of David shall be as God. Wow, isn't that something? Well, isn't it true, though? Christ in you is God in you, right? The house of David shall be as God. Do you think this is talking about just natural people who have this authority and the power of David? No, no. This is talking about God's true servants, those who are coming into His image, those in whom He lives. They are the tabernacle, in whom is the presence of God. You know that whenever they carried that tabernacle, the enemies of God fell before them. When the Ark of the Covenant was moved, the enemies were destroyed. And that's what this remnant represents, the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle of David. And the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. You say, well, I know that all the nations are going to gather against natural Jerusalem. That's, again, the type and the shadow, folks. The true Jerusalem is worldwide. And truly, the whole world will be against God's people, seeking to destroy what so angers them. And they don't even understand what it is in these people that angers them and causes them to be so hateful towards them. But it is the spirit and the nature and the life of Jesus Christ in them that torments the world. As we set up a little in verse 3 and verse 4, these people are going to be a torment to the world. Now, you say, can this possibly be so? Are we seeing that God's people are the ones that actually are going to destroy the kingdom of the nations? And we know that there is one kingdom of the nations. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says, for instance, in Daniel chapter 7. It says in verse 23, it says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. Well, the fourth kingdom he's talking about was Rome. And, of course, Rome is still with us, as the legs of Daniel's vision came all the way down to the toes. And it has, at this time, by the way, what we see of it has devoured the whole earth. All of the earth is in the UN, which is a revived Roman Empire. And they shall tread it down and break it in pieces. There's going to be war everywhere, folks, spread all over the world. It's going to be the war that's within the end time one world order. It's not going to be the one world order going out to conquer the world. They've already done that. It's the world having this infighting and destroying each other. All the nations of the world right now are getting their weapons ready for war. And it's going to be a terrible place to live unless you're abiding in Jesus Christ, in Jerusalem. Right? And as for the ten horns, out of this kingdom shall ten kings arise. Now you understand that this is the end time kingdom that he's talking about. And let's see, verse 25, and he shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and he shall think to change the times and the law, and shall be given in. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a half a time. And that is, of course, you know, that we have come here to be crucified as our Lord. We have to take up our cross and follow him. And again, we're not talking about a physical crucifixion, but a spiritual crucifixion, because we're not physically Jesus either. We're spiritually Jesus. He spiritually lives in us. He is manifested in his body. And what are we called? The body of Christ. Who lives in the body of Christ? He does. That lets you know that some of what people have been calling the body of Christ is not, because he lives in his body. But the judgment shall be set, and they shall take away his dominion. This is the beast he's talking about. To consume and to destroy it unto the end. In other words, they haven't come to the end yet, but they're consuming and destroying it unto the end. And the kingdom, this is of course after the end, the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So now you see something, that the saints just like the war in Zechariah 12, which I'm pointing out to you is a war in the spirit, not just a war in the flesh for natural Jerusalem. There is a war in the spirit where the whole, all nations, the whole beast kingdom is going to be making war on God's people, God's remnant, David and his in that tabernacle. And these people are going to be winning the war. Folks, we win the war. I don't know where anybody gets the idea that the saints lose, because we win. The flesh is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, folks. It has to be changed one way or the other. Now, let me show something else with you. Maybe I'll give you a little homework. Would you take a little homework home with you? Psalm chapter 2. Let me read a little bit more here, and then maybe I'll share some homework with you. Does that bring back bad memories or what? It does to me, because I never particularly enjoy homework. But this kind of homework I like, okay? Psalm chapter 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples meditate a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Well, of course, we know that that was Jesus in that time. He was the anointed, which is the word that's translated Messiah. Or he also, we know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that God's people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit are called His anointed. Okay, anointed is the word used there. Christos. Against the Lord and against His anointing, saying, let us break their bonds asunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. Do you feel that's happening now? They don't want any. They are trying to push God out of everything, folks. And they're trying to push His people off in a corner. Let's break their cords. They feel like you're trying to bring them into bondage, don't they? Instead of bring them freedom, they feel like you're trying to bring them into bondage. He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. Then will He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now, I was sharing this with a little piece of this with the Spirit One program the other day, and something that the Lord put into my mind that chapter 2 could represent this particular millennium we're in. And I will tell of the decree. The Lord said unto me, thou art my son. So we're talking about sonship here. To manifest Christ is to manifest sonship. And the whole creation, according to Romans 8, is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, so that the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. See? Just as Jesus came to deliver the creation from the bondage of corruption, so He is coming again in His people. First fruits, of course, is going to be the man-child. And this is called sonship. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance. We're joint heirs with Christ, aren't we? This world belongs to us, doesn't it? Absolutely. Well, we're walking through it as sojourners right now. But soon the evidence will be seen. I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance. Isn't that what you want? Some people are only thinking about a place in glory, a little house in the corner of the promised land. Who cares, folks? I want to see God's people obtain the salvation that has been given to them. I mean, God's people who are still in the world and have yet to come into the kingdom. That's what I want to see. Give me the nations for my inheritance. Forget about the house in the corner of glory, folks. Not too interested in that. I think the house that God's building is that new body we're going to receive anyway. And to see all the multitudes of God's people come into the kingdom, that's what I want to see. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Well, you know, folks, that's exactly what Revelation 2 and 27 says about the overcomer. That's what it says that they will do, that they'll have their rod of iron. To him that overcometh will I give authority, the Lord says. Now be wise, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath will soon be kindled. And it's much sooner now, folks. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him. Now, here's, I think, the homework lesson. Notice who we've discovered, who David and the remnant is, and read this with that thought in mind, these chapters. I'm just going to read to you the titles of some of these chapters, and I'll come back and start reading. It says, Morning Prayer of Trust in God, chapter 3. Evening Prayer of Trust in God, chapter 4. Prayer for Protection from the Wicked, chapter 5. This is a common theme through David's writings in the beginning of Psalms. Is this Prayer for Mercy in Time of Trouble, chapter 6. The Lord implored to defend the psalmist against the wicked, chapter 7. Does that sound like a common theme of God's people going into tribulation? Learning to trust in God because the wicked are making war on them? The Lord's glory and man's dignity. A psalm of thanksgiving for God's justice. A prayer for the overthrow of the wicked. A refuge, the Lord, a refuge and a defense. A helper against the treacherous. And on, folks. You see what he's talking about? It's the times that we're coming into that he's talking about. David and the tabernacle are heading into this particular time. And when you read it, boy, I tell you, you get a revelation that of what God wants us to pray and what he wants us to believe. You know, David didn't pray silly prayers, prayers that weren't going to come to pass and weren't going to happen. What you read here is what God's planning and what he's going to do. And I'll just start and just read till we run out of program here. Chapter 3, verse 1. Lord, how are mine adversaries increased? Boy, I tell you, here we are, coming to this time, too. Exactly. And when the whole world is going to want to make war against God's saints. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there are that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. That sounds like the religious people, doesn't it? Boy, I tell you, the religious people are going to rise up and hate God's true people. They've got their own agenda. They don't want to turn loose of this world. They're in idolatry with religion, just like they were in Jesus' day. And they're going to make war against the saints. But pray these prayers. Listen to what he says. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cry unto the Lord with my voice, and he answers me out of his holy hill. The Lord is going to hear our prayers, folks. The world is going to make war, but the Lord is our shield. If we abide in him, in the name of the Lord, he's our shield. He's our secret place of the Most High, and he's going to hear our prayers. I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustaineth me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of the people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, and thou hast broken the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing be upon thy people. And chapter 4. Answer me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast set me at large when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me, and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long shall my glory be turned into dishonor? Isn't it true? They call evil good and good evil. They thought Jesus was a criminal, and they thought his disciples were too. The same is true of our day. The true people of God are all going to be criminals in the sight of the world. And they belittle them now in the national news media every time they get a chance. How long will you love vanity and seek after falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him that is godly. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. and put your trust in the Lord. Many there are that say, who will show us any good? The Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than they have when their grain and their new wine are increased. In peace will I both lay me down and sleep, for thou, Lord, alone makest me to dwell in safety. Oh, that God people would understand this, that there is no safety except from God. No place of safety in any of our own provision or our own ingenuity or any place we could run or try to hide. There is no safety except in God. We need to dwell and abide in Him. He is our place of safety. Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto Thee do I pray, O Lord, in the morning shalt Thou hear my voice. In the morning will I order my prayer unto Thee, and will keep watch. For Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Evil shall not sojourn with Thee. Of course, we do sojourn with God if we walk in righteousness and faith. The arrogant shall not stand in Thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Oh, that people would understand this, that God hates workers of iniquity. People say things that are not in the Scriptures. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. They say God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. You can't separate a man from what he is and what his nature is. You cannot do that. No. God hates all workers of iniquity. You say, well, I thought He loved us while we were yet sinners. Yes, He loved us by faith. He sees the end from the beginning. But He didn't love what we were manifestly. He loved us by faith because He saw us in Him from the foundation of the world. But no, God knows sinners, and He doesn't like sinners. Thou wilt destroy them that speak lies. People have made themselves comfortable doctrines and twisted God's word to give themselves comfort. But God's going to prove all this. And all of the sinners of God's people are going to die by the sword, just as the Bible says. The Lord abhorreth the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. And even the Christians who are that way, who think that they're going to live by the sword and go out and destroy their enemies, as in the Old Covenant, and don't understand what Jesus commanded them to do. He said, but as for me, in the abundance of Thy loving kindness will I come into Thy house. In Thy fear will I worship towards Thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make Thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Thrust them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against Thee. But let all those that take refuge in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Yep, just like the Lord defended David and those that were around him, He defended him. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. For Thou wilt bless the righteous, O Lord. Thou wilt compass him with favor, as with a shield. Praise be to God. And chapter 6, which is a prayer for mercy in time of trouble. And you've heard of Jacob's trouble, right? O Lord, rebuke me not in Thine anger, neither chasten me in Thy hot displeasure. But have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am withered away. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is sore troubled. He was going through a crucifixion. O Thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Save me from Thy loving, for Thy loving kindness' sake. For in death there is no remembrance of Thee. In Sheol, who shall give Thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning, and every night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears, and mine eye wasteth away because of grief. It waxeth old because of mine adversaries, many adversaries. And all of this, folks, is just for the purpose of crucifying that old man, come bringing us to the end of ourselves, the end of our ability, the end of our strength, the end of our lusts for the world. He's going to make us sick of the world. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. And he will hear ours too. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Do you feel like that? Do you confess that? We have to. We have to. The Lord has told us if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We have to believe that He hears our prayers. And all mine enemies shall be put to shame and sore troubled. They shall turn back. They shall be put to shame suddenly. Yep, the Lord. When the Lord is through doing His work on His people, He is going to turn suddenly on this beast kingdom. O Lord my God, in Thee do I take refuge. Save me from all them that pursue me and deliver me, lest they tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause was mine adversary. Let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. Yea, let him tread my life down to the earth. So David was standing upon his walk with the Lord, that if he had returned evil for good, that God would do it to him. And lay my glory in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, and lift up thyself against the rage of mine adversaries. And awake for me, thou hast commanded judgment. And let the congregation of the peoples compass thee about, and over them return thou on high. The Lord ministereth judgment to the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish thou the righteous. For the righteous God trieth the minds and hearts. My shield is with God, who saveth the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, yea, a God that hath indignation every day. If a man turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He maketh his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity. Did you remember that the first White Horse Judgment that we shared, that was the man-child ministry? That he had a bow, but no arrows. Meaning, of course, that like Jesus sent forth his children as his fiery shafts, his arrows, to bring destruction to the beast kingdom around them and to plunder the kingdom for the kingdom of God. So it will be in this day, folks. And God's got his fiery arrows, and it's talking about his children, as the scripture says in Psalms also. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity. Yea, he hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He hath made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violence shall come down upon his own pate. I will give thanks unto the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. You know, the Lord is going to cause the wicked to reap what they have sown, and He's going to use His people to make sure that this happens. He's going to use His people as weapons to bring to pass His indignation. So walk with the Lord, friends, and finish your homework, too. God bless you.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus. Jesus.